Good morning and welcome to Backyard and Beyond. This morning I want to talk about a recipe and the ingredients that go in it. But the recipe has a few more ingredients and a few more steps than one that's just a quickie. This is not a quickie recipe, but it's not complicated. It just has a few more ingredients. So instead of trying to give you all of it, we will put it on the web, kjan.com. You click on Programs and then on Backyard and Beyond, and it will be there, I tell people, forever. But it's helpful to know the date of a program if you're looking for a past program. So just remember that you can always hear Backyard and Beyond, as well as other programs, whenever you want to turn on your laptop or desktop or phone or whatever. It will be there. So one of the ingredients in this recipe is winter squash, and it doesn't say which winter squash. Well, the reason for that is there are a number of choices for winter squash. Probably the most common one is acorn squash. Starts early in the fall to see it in the grocery store, but it also can be found at Produce in the Park the Monday before Thanksgiving. So that's the 22nd. Acorn squash, as well as some of the other squashes, will be available at the Cass County Community Center. But again, they're available pretty generally. And another great thing about squash is you can buy up a bit of a supply. They can be stored up to 6 months in a cool, dry place. So you can still be using them in the spring. Good time to buy some squash. So in addition to acorn squash, there's buttercup squash, delicata, Hubbard, spaghetti, and turban. Those are all, and did I say butternut? I hope so, because that's one that's very popular. And those are all available, some more than others. Probably the two that you find most often are the butternut and acorn, but they are all interchangeable. The other nice thing about squash, of course, it is pretty easy to cook if you just want something quick. Most times in the past, I don't know how you were when you were growing up or what your experience has been, but we cut it in half and then put brown sugar and butter in it, and it usually had to bake for a while. It took a little while. But a couple of clues: if you need to cut it in half, you know, sometimes they'll squash, or you need a hammer and a big axe or something. Well, the way to solve that is to put a few pricks in it and put it in the microwave for maybe a minute. Kind of depends on the size. It will soften just enough to cut it in half, but not enough to actually cook it. However, it can also be cooked, even whole, in the microwave. Again, get some pricks into it and just put it in the microwave for, you know, it depends again on the size, maybe 5 minutes or so. When you take it out, it's a good idea to wrap some foil around it to have it continue cooking. Of course, in the microwave, just like the oven, you can cut it in half and put in whatever fillings you like and cook it in the microwave. Pretty quick way. Another option, of course, if you're doing other things in the oven, just go ahead and put it in the oven. Good way, good options. And it, of course, can also just be cooked in water like potatoes are. So lots of choices of how you use squash, how you prepare squash, how many you buy, how you store it. All kinds of good things with squash. And then just a benefit of all of that is that they're high in vitamin A, high in fiber, as well as good taste. What a good deal. So these ingredients in this recipe, and it is kind of like a casserole, so I'm thinking it would be good as a side to maybe some leftover turkey, or you can be inventive and just put leftover turkey or ham in this to add to the casserole. Then it could become a main dish. But I like the flavor combinations it presents. For some people, they might want to heat it up a little bit, but one of the neat things about a casserole is you just kind of make it your own. So the ingredients include an apple, a blend of rice, and in this recipe, 3 cups of winter squash. And by the way, when I say 3 cups, there's, with these other ingredients, it makes 14 servings. So this could be a company casserole, or perhaps you're going to a potluck or something like that. It would be a good thing to use. In addition to the squash, there's a bit of onions, chopped up onions, and it suggested fresh rosemary and fresh thyme. Those are great if they're available. And for instance, this one calls for 1.5 teaspoons of rosemary. If you are using dried herbs instead of the fresh, and that's possible to get this taste, remember to use 1/3 as much as the recipe for fresh. Think about what happens when the herbs are dried. It really concentrates the flavor. So you want to cut down on the amount of fresh, or excuse me, the amount of dried as compared to the amount of fresh. So those are seasonings that go in, the rosemary and the thyme. Also, of course, salt and pepper. And apple juice or apple cider. So we're going back to that apple flavor. Vegetable stock. A little bit of butter, some kind of mild cheese, and to finish it off, some walnuts and dried cranberries. So you see that list of ingredients is quite a bit longer than a lot of recipes that you want to make in 30 minutes. Nope, this isn't a 30 minutes one. The preparation, well, you look at recipes and they give you this information. It says hands-on time. I think those hands-on time are for experienced people in the kitchen. And if you're not so experienced, you maybe need to add a little bit more time. This one says 15 minutes. Well, you have to peel and seed the squash and make all these combinations. And I'm thinking it's going to take more than 15 minutes. And then it bakes for 1 hour and 15 minutes. So again, this is not a shortcut recipe, but I think a real opportunity to combine all of these fall flavors with the apple and the squash and the cranberries and the apple cider or apple juice. Great flavor combination. Perhaps you heard Jim Field this morning talking about how long to keep various things after they've been prepared and they're set out there on the table and you have leftovers. Well, with this kind of casserole, I don't have the USDA recommendation, but with most casseroles, 3 to 4 days at the most in the refrigerator. And, of course, it can always go in the freezer. Maybe you want to put this, if you have leftovers, in little individual containers so that if somebody, just one person, wants a quick meal, there it could be right there just to thaw out one serving. Another thing, in addition to all kinds of turkey and ham and squash and all these favorite Thanksgiving menus, and I'm guessing you have some favorite things that you expect at your Thanksgiving meal, whether that's on Thanksgiving Day or the weekend before, the weekend after, whatever. A gathering of folks to eat good food is a tradition for lots of families. Well, one of those expectations I always have is mashed potatoes. And not my usual mashed potatoes, you know, I just take them off the stove, mash them up, add a little milk. No, these can be upped a little bit, and there's several recipes of what to add to the mashed potatoes, such as sour cream or cream cheese, some extra butter, some extra milk. But one suggestion, have you ever tried this, is to add a little horseradish. I'm not sure I would try that for the first time on a big group of people, but it might be a fun thing to try at home for the first time. So a couple clues for mashed potatoes, you know, is after they are cooked to make sure all of the water is poured off so they're almost dry. And then when ingredients are added, it's best to have those ingredients warmed up rather than cold right out of the refrigerator. If you're making a big batch of this mixture, you can do it ahead of time, actually freeze it if you want to, or several hours ahead, and then put it in the slow cooker to get warmed up and to serve. Little clue, if you're going to do that, one of the things that happens when you put things in the slow cooker, and it's the reason a lot of things turn out really well, is that you get some condensation on the lid, and you don't really want that moisture going down into the mashed potatoes. So just cover it with a cotton cloth or paper towels, what's mostly handy, and that will help absorb some of that moisture so it doesn't run down into the potatoes. Whatever you're doing, I hope you will check out this recipe on KJN.com. And I'm wishing you good food. Until next time, here's the thought. Celebrate what you've accomplished, but raise the bar a little higher each time you succeed.